Halachas pertaining to the Seder, try to discuss some things. A lot of it, or maybe all of it, might be known to you, might be obvious, but we'll see if there might be a, say, Ein Beis Medrash Bel Chiddush, maybe one or two things that'll be a Chiddush to someone. It's always a covet to be here with Rabbi Levan, the other Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Kier, and enjoy shruzing the Elam. So Pesach night is an opportunity for mitzvahs which come up only once a year. Pesach night at the Seder, we have five main mitzvahs, two mitzvahs d'oraisa and three mitzvahs d'rabbanan. Mitzvah d'oraisa of achilas matzah, which we know is only Leil Tesvav. The rest of the yontif, there's certainly no chiyuv to eat matzah. There might, according to the Gra and the Chizkuni, there's a kiyum mitzvah kiyumis, like the pasuk, the pasuk says, shivas yamim matzah t'chelu. So there's a kiyum mitzvah, but there's certainly no chiyuv. The only chiyuv matzah is definitely Lekuliyam, is only Leil Tesvav Nisan. Chutz Laretz, of course, we do it a second night as well. And the other mitzvah d'oraisa is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is only once a year, although we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim the entire year, but the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that it should be Derech, you know, Sheila and Shuva, that it should be Be'arichus with all the details, and it should be those are like the unique features of that mitzvah. It's also only once a year. So we have those two mitzvahs in the Torah. And the three mitzvahs, the Rabbanan, the mitzvah of Arba Kosos, the mitzvah of Achilas Maror, which is man at the base of Mikdash, is standing, is man that we have a carbon Pesach, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, to eat matzah together with the matzah and Maror together with the carbon Pesach. But this man that there's no carbon Pesach, so there's a mitzvah, the Rabbanan of Maror. And the mitzvah of Hallow, which it's the only time of the year when that mitzvah is done is at night. We have a mitzvah on the Shalosh Regalim to say Hallow. During the day, we have a mitzvah on Chanukah to say Hallow, but the only time there's a mitzvah saying Hallow at night is Pesach night as part of the Haggadah. So those are the main mitzvahs of this Seder. So we'll talk a little bit about some of them. Another component of the Seder, which is, it's not a perhaps a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, but it's a method of fulfilling some of the other mitzvahs, is the din of haseba, that there's a din, a chiyuv, that when a person is being mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah and dalakosos, there is the mitzvah is to do it the haseba rather than sitting the way he does normally throughout the year, but to be meisiv, which is the derech of b'nei chorin. So the shaila is, what happens? The first thing that it says, let's say a person fulfills one of the mitzvahs of the halayla and does not do it b'haseba. What are the consequences? What are the ramifications? Is he yotzi or is he not yotzi? So the discussion revolves around that I'm sure you've seen in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tafayin Beis, that has brought down the sheet of the Ravya. The sheet of the Ravya is that bizman is that the mitzvah b'chal doesn't apply. Since it's not the derech now, it's not the derech to be mesiv. We don't normally sit there. But the whole idea is that it's supposed to be derech b'nei chorin, and if b'nei chorin bizmanenu are not mesiv, when you sit down and you want to be as comfortable as you can, you're not going to be mesiv. You're not going to recline. You're gonna sit in the normal fashion. So perhaps there's no mitzvah anymore. And that's the sheet of the Ravya. But most Rishonim don't hold their way. Most Rishonim hold that Chazal v'kaveya the mitzvah is that derech eris, that even if it's not this specific display of cheres in our medinas in our zman, but nevertheless that's the mitzvah. And either there's a takanas chazal, or it could be that these things change. Now it's not. Maybe it'll be again. Maybe it'll change. Maybe in some countries, probably in some countries, it still is. So chazal and masakin is mitzvah. Most rishonim holds the mitzvah remains. So if you didn't do it, if you ate lamashal kezayis matzah, and you were not mesiv, so the halach is you have to do it again. Since matzah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and there's no drawback to doing it again, at least mitzvah the halacha there isn't. You may want to be filling up on so much matzah, but there's no problem with eating another kezayis matzah. So that's what he's supposed to do. If you had a kezayis matzah and you were not meisiv, you have to eat a kezayis matzah over again. When it comes to the afikoman at the end of the seder, where you're also supposed to be beheseba, there it's much more complicated because depending on when you remember, if you've already preceded, you ate the afikoman and you finished and you went on and you benched, so now it's much more complicated to you have to start over again with, you know, with Til Shadayim and Amotzi, but you're still supposed to do that, even if you remember it last, after you're supposed to do that. if you remember at the, if you remember before anything, before Mayim Achronim, before anything, you just do it again right then. If you remember after Mayim Achronim, then again you have to be no Til Yodav again, and repeat it at that point. So the point is, you're supposed to make a concerted effort not to forget, and by things which are with is, so there's no be'etzim reason, even though it's a little more complicated v'afikom, but there's no reason be'etzim why you can't do it again. And since there's a tzad that you aren't yotzei, according to most Rishonim, you aren't yotzei, or at least you aren't yotzei the mitzvah b'shleimusa, you aren't yotzei the mitzvah kitikuna, so you have to do it again. When it comes to the dalakosos, it becomes more complicated, because we know there's an inyan of not to be near a kamosiv alakosos. You're supposed to have davka dalakosos, which are connected to the dalashonos of geula, and other sibas why it's a mitzvah davka to have dalakosos. So it's supposed to be nicker that it's dalakosos. We Ashkenazim, we make a bracha on each one of the dalakosos. We make a bracha, a separate bracha, even though there's perhaps no hefsek be'etzim between the first kos and the second kos. There are shittas that hold that the Amiras Hagod is a hefsek, but even if it's not a hefsek, we still make a bracha on the second kos, because part of the inyan is to show that it's a distinct takana, that there should be specifically four kosos. So you're supposed to limit it to four kosos. You're not supposed to drink extra kosos. So the mashal, when it comes to the third and fourth kos, if you forgot to do haseba, the halacha is that it's for fouling. You don't repeat it. There's no way to repeat the kos unless you have extra wine still in the same kos. You drank the third kos, and there's wine left over. Maybe we'll talk about how much you have to drink normally, but let's say there is wine left over in the kos, and you're able to drink that again, and you still have a shear left in the kos, so that you don't have to make another bracha. You could just drink it. So be mesiv and drink the rest of the wine, behesebas. So since you're not making another bracha, there's nothing that makes it nicker like it's an extra kos, and that you're supposed to do. The same thing with the fourth kos. If you remember right away, and it's still in the, you know, there's enough wine left in the kos. When it comes, however, to the first and second kosos, it's not as much of a problem. The second kos for sure, because typically the derech is to drink some wine during the Suda. There's a mitzvah during Yontif in general, there's a mitzvah to be koveh all the Sudas in Yayin, more so than on Pesach, more so than on Shabbos, rather. On Shabbos, there's an inyan to drink wine if you enjoy wine, but on Yontif, there's a mitzvah, part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is to be koveh of the Suda al HaKos. And therefore, you're supposed to specifically drink Yayin during the Sudas Yontif. So Mimela, typically, when you make the bracha on the second kos, your das is that it should cover any other yayin that you're going to have until you bench. And that should be your das. So once that's your das, so at any point, if you remember during the Suda, you could drink more, and it's not a problem, and that's what you're supposed to do. The first kos is not as simple, because the first kos, normally you don't drink between the first and second kos. Once you start the Haggadah, for sure, you're not supposed to drink or eat at all during the Haggadah. You're not supposed to have water during the Haggadah. Else they cover the Haggadah, you're not supposed to drink or eat at all once you began the Haggadah. So, but even before you began the Haggadah, after you drank the first kos, normally a person doesn't drink a second kos, so your das probably, normally, would only be on that one kos. So if you finished everything at the kos, then you'd have to make another bracha to repeat, to do it, the mitzvah again with Haseba, and that you're not supposed to do. So then again, we'd be somech, just like with the third and fourth kos, with somech on the sheet of the Raviyah. If you did it without a seva, with somech on the Raviyah, that you yotzei b'di'eved, so we'd be samech with the first kos too. However, what's better, what's recommended, is before you make the bracha, before you make kiddush, you should have in mind that this bracha should cover any other wine I have until the second kos, so that in the event that you do forget to be mesiv, you can, still drink another kos, fill the kos again, and drink another kos without a bracha. So as long as you have that in mind. But the third and fourth kos, it won't help to have that in mind, because you're not allowed to drink between the third and fourth kos, and maybe the fourth kos, and you're not allowed to drink at that point, Shema Yishtaker. But by the second kos, we're not afraid of Shema Yishtaker, because wine during the meal is not going to be Meshaker person. And the first kos also, when you're going into the meal, we're not afraid of that. So as long as you had in mind, and that's the recommended procedure, have in mind by the first kos, that the bracha should be going on any other wine you have till the second kos, and this way, at least up to the point that you began the Haggadah, you could drink it again, fill it again and drink it without a bracha. Now, okay, that's really the only points where it's no gay, this din of haseva. Now, just to go over what is the chiyuv normally of the kos, how much are you supposed to drink? So we know that the kos has to hold the revius, which is true by every kos shel bracha, has to hold the revius, and has to be full, regardless of, even if it holds more than Revias, it has to be full to the top. That's always the din by Kosher Bracha, by Kosher Bracha Zamaz, and a Kiddush, Abdallah, that's always the din of a Kosher Bracha. Normally on a Shabbos or on a Yontif, when you're making Kiddush, you just have to drink a Melol Lugmav. There's no Chiyav whatsoever to drink more than a Melol Lugmav. It's approximately Rov Revias. The Shalom, the Biralach, exactly, if you know, going by the individual or not, but figure if you drink a Rov Revias, that's fine. And in fact, there's even a discussion in the Biralacha, in Hilchos Brachas, that perhaps by Kiddush, perhaps you should dafka only drink, be makbid not to drink more than a Rov Revias, because there's a suffix in Hilchos Brachas where the Birchas HaMazon at the end of the Suda is poter the Yayin Shelefnei Suda, when you make Kiddush before you washed. So, and we don't make a Bracha Achrona, so where is the Bracha Achrona on that wine? So we say, well, benching, but it's not 100% Pasha, because benching is, the wine was Lefnei Suda, and it's a Shiloh whether the Birchas HaMazon could be poter it. So one eighth of the Biral Lacha gives is maybe don't drink a Revias when you make Kiddush. In a regular Shabbos, don't drink a Revias. So then you're not chayiv in Bracha Achrona. But he says that's not a complete Eitzah because it's still going to be a Suffolk Bracha Achrona. Once you drink a Kazayas of Mashke, which is less than a Melol Lugmav, you're already in a Suffolk Bracha, and you have to drink at least a Melol Lugmav. You can't get away with less than that to be able to say Kiddush. So once you drink that, you're anyway in a Suffolk. So that's not really a perfect Eitzah. So the eighth of the Biral Lacha gives is when you bench, you should have in mind the Hedya, that the benching covers the wine. Because this way, the only suffix is whether the benching, whether the wine is nigrar after the Suda, whether it's a part of the Suda, it's attached to the Suda, so benching automatically passes it. That's a suffix. But if you would drink a cup of wine and bench, just drink wine right now, and you say Berachas Hamazon, you yotze with the evidence. It's not the right Berachas Hamazon, but you yotze if you bench the wine, because wine is also soed. So if when you bench at the end of the Suda, you have in mind, I'm benching on the Suda, and I'm benching on the Kos Yayin. So it works, if for sure works at least for the evidence. That's the Eitzah the Bar Ilacha gives. I never understood why he doesn't give the Chayadim, which he's quoting there, gives another Eitzah, which it might be easier, that if you drink even a small amount of wine during the Suda, then for sure the Berachas Hamazon works on everything, because once the bracha Bar Priyagaf, which you made before the Suda, is still functioning during the Suda, so then it's gorer, again, it's gorer the wine from before the Suda into the Suda, and the benching passes it. Okay, in any case, but that's by regular Shabbos or Yontif meal, Lagabi Kiddush, you for sure don't have to drink more than Melol Lugmav. But by Pesach, there's a special Indian. By Pesach also, you'd be Yotze. Lamaisa, by the Dalal Kosev, you're Yotze if you drink a Rov Revias. And this often comes up when people have difficulty with wine, or sometimes even with grape juice. They have difficulty drinking it because of maybe wine, we understand, we're not into that so much. But even grape juice, some people have a problem with the sugar or whatever it is. But the amount you really have to be Yotze to drink is only a Rov Revias. And we'll just, I don't want to get so much into the specifics of the Shurim, but if we go with the Shir of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, which is for a Drabanan, is even the Chumra version, there are two versions of Moshe's Drabanan Shir, but the Chumra version is 3.3 ounces for a whole Revias. So Rov Revias is 1.7 ounces. So frequently when you tell people that's all you have to drink, each coast, 1.7 ounces spaced out over the course of the Seder, that often solves the problem. Even if people have a sugar problem, that often solves the problem. Not always, and this is not medical advice, but if you can handle 1.7 ounces, better to drink that, even grape juice, than to start with Chamar Medina or anything like that, which, you know, it's much less lechatchila. But anyway, so you yotze with that. But lechatchila, one who does not have a particular issue with drinking more, should drink an entire Revias, each kos, and should drink at least Rov HaKos. Some Achorim say the entire kos. We're never, according to the way I understand and recall, never mentions drinking the entire kos, per se, meaning if your kos holds more than a Revias. I don't believe the Mishnah ever says that there's even an inyan to drink the entire kos. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says it, and other Sfarim seem to take it as a pashas, but I'll be the Mishnah, it sounds like Rov Kos, which is an entire Revias, right? If you reach those two plateaus, those two bars, you've consumed Rov of the kos and an entire Revias, then that's the Yotze Lechatchila. So again, this is Nogeya, because people, you know, getting into, a little bit into the Shiurim, Ramosha Shir for the Kos is 3.3, other than if it's Friday night, but 3.3 ounces. The Chazon Ish held the Shir is 5.1 ounces. So according to the Chazon Ish, if you take a Kos which only holds 3.5 ounces, Lamashal, you didn't get the first base. That's not a Kos, and you're not Yotze. Now, there's no Shiloh that, you know, Ramosha's, I don't even say the words, more than a Bar Samchan, we rely on Ramosha for, you know, for Chiyuvei Misa, etc. So you can rely on Fidala Kosas. But at the same time, if a person can take a Kos that's a little bit larger, unless you have a Kos that holds a little bit more than 5 ounces, 5.1 ounces, and you drink an entire revius, let's say you drink 3.3 ounces, so you've drunk an entire revius like Ramosha, you've drunk Rov Kos like Ramosha, and you yotze the Fil Chazonish, you've also drunk Rov Revius and Rov Kos, so it almost seems like, why not, instead of just getting a very small Kos that's only 3.5 ounces, take a Kos that's 5.1 ounces and drink Rav Moshe. If you want to drink the Chazon Ish Shashir, you know, goes into hate, as long as you'll be able to finish the Seder properly. But if you want to drink, but if you drink 3.3 ounces, which is, that's what the Mishnah Berurah recommends, drink an entire Revius, so you've drunk Rav Moshe's entire Revius, Rov Kos, and your Yotzi, you for sure Yotzi the Mitzvah, like the Chazon Ish also, because you have Rov Revius and Rov Kos, so even the Chazon Ish. Okay, in any case, so that's why I mentioned that sometimes you may have more wine. You might have drunk, you know, your Kos might hold more. It's a good thing, it's a good idea not to make the Kos bigger. I mean, whatever size you do, make sure, you know, whatever you decide, do it with a cheshbon. Don't just come to the Seder and they give you an 8-ounce glass. And now you say, well, if I'm going to drink Rov Kos, and, you know, it's going to be much more difficult. Make a cheshbon, figure out what you want to do, and try to arrange that's the size Kos that you have, you know, approximately. But you may, that's why I mentioned, you may sometimes have extra wine in the Kos, so that's where it gets into the shaitel that you could, if you forgot that Seba, you could, I don't recommend getting a bigger Kos, so in case you forget a Seba, you could, that doesn't pay, shouldn't be necessary. Okay. Now, just mention one shaitel regarding, we spoke about Bracha Achrona, so there's a big shaitel in the Seder. And I don't have a good answer to this, but I'll just, you know, bring the shaitel to your attention, that folks can talk about it. They said the idea of Hilchas Pesach came up in the cab yesterday, so I didn't have a Milcha Shlomo with me in the cab or any other svarim who I know talk about this. But the shaila is, what happened to the Bracha Achrona on the first kos of this? The second kos is the beginning of the Suda, and then we eat the whole Suda, and then we bench. So, you know, you just have the old shaila I mentioned for the Bir Halacha, but that could be remedied. At the third kos and the fourth kos, typically we make a Bracha Achrona at the end of the fourth kos, and very often there isn't such a big, by the end of the Seder, at least in my house, and I'm assuming that's typical, things are sort of winding down by the end, so there isn't a gap of 72 minutes in between the third kos and the fourth kos, and maybe not even a gap of 30 minutes. But between the first kos and the second kos, lefi, the style of Seder, which is common, beinenu, there is usually a gap of more than 72 minutes. And l'kaladeus, if you made a bracha rishona on wine, and drank a revius, and then 72 minutes passed, you can't make a bracha achrona. You lost anymore. You lost the bracha achrona. So the poskim are, you know, discusses what happened to the bracha achrona. Why do we make a bracha achrona on the first kos? Or if we don't, you know, what is the hesber? How are we yotze? Now the answer, and it's not discussed in, to my knowledge, and from what I've seen others say, it's not discussed in Shulchan Aruch or you know, Mechaber, it's not discussed in the Rishonim before that. So the answer to that might be that their Seder didn't take so long. Maybe they moved at a quicker pace. Very possible. But it's been many years that it is taking that long, so the Gedolim, at least the Gedolim of the last, of our Dar, the last Dar, started discussing this. So it's brought down, B'Shem Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv used to make a Bracha Achrona. Used to make a Bracha Achrona after the first coast. That's brought in a number of Sarim. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva on this, I believe in Milcha Shlomo, it's definitely discussed in the Halicha Shlomo, you know, different things said in his name. Apparently, at some years, he used to actually drink a little bit of water throughout the Haggadah in order to be mamshich. We know if you continue drinking, that's mamshich, I don't know if water is lakuliyama, but wasn't going to drink anything. So he drank one. In fact, they found in one of his Haggadahs, he has marked down in certain places a little note, take a sip, take a sip, take a sip, so that, you know, that it wouldn't be enough, it wouldn't be a hefzik. He was, from what I recall, again, I didn't look anything up, but I recall in the Halicha Shlomo, he once said about this, not to be mefarsim, this is his personal halacha, he's not saying this l'rabim, and I pretty sure he has a tshuva about it in Halicha Shlomo. The bottom line is most people don't make a bracha achrona. What I do remember once, as far as Rav Shlomo Zalman is against making a bracha achrona, because the whole idea is it's supposed to be kiddush b'makom suda, and making a bracha in between the kiddush and any semblance of suda. When you go to a quote-unquote kiddush, you make kiddush, and then you yotze, you have cake or whatever, you know, you have to be a kiddush b'makom suda that way, and then of course you make a bracha achrona, you go home and eat. But here your suda is going to be when you make kamotzi on the matzah. So if you're going to make a bracha achrona between kiddush and the eating, it's a chasaron in kiddush makom suda. So he held not to do that. That's what they say Rabbi Yashiv did. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, at least he says such a sara, is maskana, I don't remember for sure, but the maskana of the minhag olam is not to make a bracha achrona, and I don't believe it's to take sips throughout the Haggadah either, and whatever the teretz is, but it's to be mafalpul about it. So, okay, now when it comes to the mitzvah of achilas matzah, so the mitzvah, the raisa, is ein achila pachas b'kazayis. The mitzvah is the kazayis. The thing is, we know we have three matzahs in front of us, right? So we have three matzahs. One is connected for the berachas hamotzi. We have to have lechem mishnah, at least. We have to have lechem mishnah. By the time we get to the tamotzi matzah, the middle one is broken, so we need three for lechem mishnah. You know the famous shita sagra is that you don't need three. That since it's lechem oni, it's good enough to have one and a broken one, but the standard minhag is to have two whole ones and the one in the middle that's broken because of yachatz. So you have your lechem mishnah. And so we make a bracha first. We have all of them. And then then we put down the bottom one before we make the second bracha of Al-Achilas Matzah. So there's a shayla in the Rishonim, which bracha is going, the two brachas we make, Hamotz Lechem and Aretz and Al-Achilas Matzah, which bracha is going on which of the two matzahs? Is the Hamotzi going on the Shlema and Al-Achilas Matzah on the Prusa, or is it the other way around? So because of that, although, as I said, the mitzvah, the chi of mitzvah is only tida kazayis, but because of that, it's brought in the svarim, in the poskim, to eat two kazayisim. You should eat two kazayisim because lechatchila, one should eat a kazayis of the one that's the most, the one's for the lecha mishnah, and a kazayis, a separate. This is din derabanan, but it's not part of the mitzvah achilas matzah, but it goes together with that mitzvah to eat a kazayis of the hamotz and kazayis of the achilas matzah. So for that reason, you were supposed to eat two kazayisim. Now, so first of all, that lechora would only apply if you're making the brachas over these matzahs. But if, for example, let's say you're at a seder where the person is, there are many people, and the mevarich, or the one who's leading the seder, is making the brachas over these three matzahs, and everybody else is taking matzahs from a pile in the middle of the table, then the whole thing doesn't really, pass. I mean, no pun intended. I mean, what do you need? Two kazayisim for, you're anyway not. But so you're missing something out. You're missing out on something then. You're missing out on the inyan of eating from the matzah which the bracha goes. There's an inyan to eat on the bracha which the matzah is going on. So I once asked the Rashiva, Shana Bracha, how he's knowing with this. And the Rashiva told me that he says he has a lot of matzahs in front of him. He makes the brachas, he's motzi, but he has a whole pile of matzahs. Instead of having one Kohen Levi Yisrael, he has Kohenim, Leviim, and Yisraelim. This is what he told me. He has a number of matzahs in front of him. I saw this many years later, I think it was just like a year, just last year. I saw this, for the first time I ever saw someone else say this, was in the Sefer, the Hanhagas of Dayan Fisher. We saw Yaakov Fisher, who was a Dayan of the Badatz, a number of years ago. It's brought that he did this as well. However, Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as specifically not being in favor of that method, because he says the whole idea is supposed to be lechem oni, and darkish shalani beprusa, not darkish shalani to have a stack of masses in front of him that that he could distribute to a whole table full. So Rabbi Yashiv recommends not doing this. What he recommends is the same thing Rabbi Moshe recommends. This is a tshuva. There's a printed tshuva from Moshe, originally appeared in one of these, I think, in Moriah, but now it's in one of the, it's in the Yigas Moshe as well, in one of the later volumes. They both recommend that every person or every other person have three matzahs in front of them. In other words, there should be three matzahs available for that everybody can get a kazayis out of it. I think Rav Moshe writes every other person, assuming that the matzahs are large enough that you can get two kazayisim out of each one. So every other person at the Seder should have three matzahs and make the brachas over those matzahs and then eat a kazayis from the top one and a kazayis from the middle one. That's what Rav Moshe recommends, and Rabbi Yashiv also. Rabbi Yashiv is, for what I recall, is quoted in the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak, which is an excellent set of svarim on various halachas, and from what I heard from a number of sources, he is considered to be an extremely reliable source of Rabbi Yashiv's psakim. I heard this from more than one person. That's as much as I could vouch for it, but it's probably also now they have a Haggadah of Rabbi Yashiv now, probably in there also. You could probably find this maybe in Ashrei Ha'ish, different places. None of them that I know of are Ksav Yadu, but Rav Moshe has tshuva that he wrote himself, and he also recommends this, that everybody should end up eating. So there's two ways of doing it. There's one way that you have enough matzah for everyone, and each one can make his brachas over the matzahs, or the way that the Rashi recommended is the mevarech to make the brachas over all of them and then distribute to everyone. But the idea is you're eating for the matzah the bracha was made on. Now, so then it would come, so if you're doing that, so now, okay, now you do have an inyan to eat two kazayisim and the top of the mill. So you might say, I don't want to eat so much matzah. Maybe is it so important that I do it? Maybe just eat one kazayis. But the truth is, it boils down that there's really no real nafkamina for us, because we have such a suffix as to what the shiurim are. And I say we, this is not just invented in, you know, the United States. Already in the Gedolei Achronim are struggling with the fact that the Gemara gives different ways of being Mishara Kezayis, and one way Mishara comes out like this, one Mishara comes like that. You know, if you do it with the displacement of eggs, displacement of water comes out one way. If you do it with the size of the human body parts, comes out a different way. So it's a big shalom lechonim, how to deal with that, how to understand it. And there's a svara to say in the Skat Nu HaBeitzim that the eggs got smaller, so the shiurim have to be doubled. This is old raid. And as a result, it comes out that when we fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa, we typically use a shiur which is twice the size as when we fulfill a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So, for example, that's why in most of the Pesach guides or Sfarim, if you look up the shiurim for matzah, you'll see that the shiur for motzi matzah is one amount, and the shiur for matzah for karech is a much smaller amount. Because by motzi matzah, they're two possible reasons, but what I'm getting at is they're one and the same. One reason is because by motzi matzah, you're dealing with the d'oraisa. And by karech, you're dealing with the d'rabbanan. You know, to repeat eating the matzah again with the mar in it is an inyan d'rabbanan. But it comes out anyway, if you're going to try to eat two kezesim, it's anyway not going to be bigger than if you want. Do it the other way. If you want to only eat one kezayis, you're going to have to be machmer and take a kezayis of a deraisa, based on the deraisa shear. You can't eat a derabana shear. If you only eat one kezayis, you have to make sure that it's a mitzvah deraisa. You have to make sure, and even the second item is not deraisa mamish, but you know we treat it like a deraisa. So you have to make sure you're eating a shear that equals the deraisa. Once you do that, you've already got basically two derabanans. Because even if you want to fulfill this inyan derabanan of eating a kezayis of each one, you don't have to eat two deraisa kezayisim for that. You just have to eat two derabanan kezayisim. So it comes out the amount of matzah you're eating is going to be the same. It's just that if you're able to make the brachas over the matzah and eat those matzahs, so you'll eat half from the top matzah and half from the middle matzah. And if you're not doing that, you're just taking matzah from the middle of the table. So then you'll eat, you know, one big kezayis. So the shear is going to be the same. You're not going to get away with it. Even if you try to, you know, eat only one kezayis, that one kezayis is going to have to be twice as big as the kezayis in which the people who are eating two kezayis are eating. So the shear is going to come out to be the same, basically. So once that's true, they certainly should try to be mahadir. If, again, I understand I'm talking to young men who don't yet lead their own families or siddurim. For the most part, I mean, maybe some of you are running the show at home. But if you have whatever input you have, if you could do this, you know, if it's not something difficult, if your parents are, you know, very often the fathers are more than happy to hear what their son brings home from yeshiva, you know, things that enhance kiyum mitzvahs. So, you know, of course, you have to do it in the right way and make sure that. But if your parents are okay with it and you're able, or if you're at somebody else's house or whatever it is, if you're able to control this, so it'd be good to have your own matzahs or to do it in a way that that you're eating from the matzahs the bracha is made over, and you can be able to say l'chaladei that way, with the inyan d'rabban. Okay. Well, maybe it's a little bit more. If I have the time, so I'll be able to know that. Okay, I'll talk about maybe just two more in Yanam. One's more of a lighter side. One more, just one more halacha. And that halacha is that there's an Indian, there's a machlokas rishon, not machlokas, before it, it's a machlokas tanoim, right? Everybody knows machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Kivin, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. You look at about what time do you have to eat Karban Pesach, and hence by what time do we have to eat the Afikoman, which is Zech LeKarban Pesach? Do we have the whole night, or do we have only till Chatzos? So the Shita that says till Chatzos says because that's when Yetzias Mitzrayim was at Chatzos, so you have to eat the matzah by Chatzos. You have to eat the Karban Pesach by Chatzos, and the other Shita says no, you have the whole night. So we know that it's there isn't a clear hachra lahalacha, but we try. It's brought that we're supposed to try to be nizer to fulfill the day that you eat it by chatzos, and memeil fast. That means finishing the afikoman by chatzos. There's no shaila that a person should make sure to eat motzi matzah the first kezayis by chatzos. That usually is not a problem, even at our long siddurim. It is sometimes for people who have obviously if something comes up, there's some medical emergency or something, the Pesach night, or even if it's a good thing, a man's taking his wife to the hospital and they have a baby, and he has, you know, so something to keep in mind to try to eat if he can. I mean, he's Patr, Kozman, he's us, but if he can't, eat Achilas Matzah before Chatzos. Also, sometimes other people go to different people's homes to help make Siddurim until they do it themselves. So that's something to keep in mind, at least to eat achilas matzah before chatzos, and it's brought down. If you're right by the edge, you're supposed to be makatzah the seder to, you know, to get it. But certainly the afikoman is a challenge, even in many households. It's a challenge to eat afikoman by chatzos, but it's something you're supposed to try to do. So there's a famous discussion here, the Avnei Nezer, in the tshuva, and a famous tshuva has an eitzah, how one could eat the afikoman b'chatzos and yet not have to cut his seder short. And that is, he says, look, he's mechadish, that the idea of eating afikoman b'chatzos is only according to the man to Amar. No, sorry. Step back one second. He says the iser of eating after afikoman is only like one other, because like this, we could have an eitzah. Eat the afikoman at before chatzos, and just in case, if you want to continue, then continue with the seder and have your whole meal, and eat afikoman again. In other words, what's the problem? If you have to eat afikoman with chatzos, so eat it before chatzos, and then go on with your seder. The answer is no, you're not allowed to eat after the afikoman, so once you have to come in, you're stuck. You ended your seder, you can't eat the suda. So there, the mechadish that iser is totally on the two shitas. He says, why is there an iser to eat after chatzos? Because the tam matzah, tam karin pesach, or tam matzah, shouldn't you leave your mouth? But he says that's only that it shouldn't leave your mouth during the shas mitzvah. And really, why is that? Because he says really the mitzvah should be the manda amar that's chatzos. It shouldn't be by chatzos. It should be at chatzos. The manda amar that holds that they're supposed to eat by chatzos. The idea is because the Makas Bechoros happened at Chatzos, B'chatzi HaLayla, so that's right, exactly when we should be eating Karban Pesach. But we can't. We can't be Mitzamsein, we can't eat the whole Kezias in a second. So in order to fulfill the mitzvah, we're given a shear, you can eat it all night till Chatzos, and then the tam should linger in your mouth. And if the tam lingers in your mouth till Chatzos, so it's Ke'ilu, you ate it at Chatzos. So the Fidam Andam, that you have to eat by Chatzos, he holds that you can't eat anything else after till Chatzos. But once Chatzos passed, then you're free to eat. Then there's no iser. There's no iser of eating after the afikoman. It's only like the other mandama that says that you have all night, so it's not totally chatzos. So he holds that at any point that you eat the afikoman, even if it's before chatzos, you can't eat again the rest of the night. So says the Avnei Nezer. So make it tonight. Be master and say that as it's getting close to chatzos, take a kezayis matzah or two kezayisim the afikoman. There's also two kezayisim. Take your matzah. And be masna and say, if the din is that I'm a chuyiv to eat afikoman by chatzos, then this should be my afikoman. And if the din is that I'm not a chuyiv to eat by chatzos, then this should not be afikoman, this should just be achilas matzah ba'alma. Then you eat it, then watch the clock till chatzos, don't eat anything more till chatzos, and after chatzos you can go on and eat. Because lefilaman the amar that the mitzvah is only till chatzos, you fulfilled the mitzvah, and now you're free to eat. After chatzos, you're free to eat. But for the other man, the armor, you were master, you never did the mitzvah yet. You never ate afikoman yet. So of course you're free to eat. And at the end of your yesuda, eat another kezayis to be yotzi afikoman then. This is his chiddush, and it was praised by the Brisker Rav, they bring down, praise this, he held it as a very good eitzah. Ramosha Zatzal does not like the eitzah, he has against a printed tshuva. Ramosha's cholik on this eitzah. For two things, he says, first of all, Mekuliyama, there's an Indian, at least me the Rabbanan, to eat afikoman b'chatzos. Even like Rabbi Akiva, there's an Indian to eat it by chatzos, even if you're not chayiv to, but you really should. And B, he's cholik with this whole yesod, the whole yesod of the Avnei Nezer that says that the iser of eating after afikoman is only during the zman Karban Pesach, meaning like that man, only till chatzos. But Moshe's cholik, I don't remember, you can look inside the svaris, but Moshe's cholik with that yesod, he does not makabel that yesod of the Avnei Nezer, and he says, and Memela, if that yisod is not true, then the whole eitzah disappears. So Rav Moshe recommends not doing this. So coming up, there's a big, machlokes gedolei poskim. Some of the poskim right, I saw quoted from Rabbi Yashin, is that some say don't be somich on this lechatchila, don't go into the seder planning this. But if it ends up schlepping out or getting extended to the point where that's what you're up to, so you could rely on it. Rather than having to make an abrupt stop and not eat the whole suda that your wife or your mother or whoever prepared. And not going hungry, so you can be samach on that eitzah and do it that way. That's what some saying. Let's try not to, but if you're stuck, it's a roidless mechala. Okay, I just maybe mention one more thing, and that is on the cliff, it's a story which I heard from the Baal Dover, which I find enjoyable, and maybe take some lessons out of it. And that is it's a Yid who used to visit Chicago. He was there, you know, lots of times for Pesach. Chashev Yid, son of a Rosh Hashiva, an American Rosh Hashiva, etc. Anyway, so he said he once discussed with Ramosha about what is the proper min to use for karpas. And he asked him if it's okay to use potatoes for karpas. Now, one of the reasons why it might not be okay is that a potato can't be eaten in its raw state. It has to be cooked, and some say karpas has to be daf because something you could eat raw, and it's not great, whatever it is. I don't remember him if he said what his, you know, his hava means, or what he asked Ramosha about, Ramosha finds about eating potato. So Ramosha said, no, he holds that potato is not the proper min, is not a proper min for karpas. So he asked him, wasn't it the Rosh Hashiva? What, you know, what does the Rosh Hashiva use? Kartoffel says, I use potato. So he said, but the Rosh Hashiva said he holds the potato is not the right min for karpas. He says, yeah, but the Rebbetzin holds anders. My Rebbetzin holds differently. That's where Moshe responded. He holds it's not the right min, but Rebbetzin finds it held to use potato. Adkan the Meisah. So what do we? You could ask your Rosh Hashivas later. What do you take for this? Assuming sure. I mean, I heard it from him. That's his, you know. He told me. He said he asked it here. So what do we draw from this Meisah? One could say, assuming Ramosha was being completely, you know, he wasn't just joking. I'm sure he wasn't. I would imagine he wasn't. You know, especially he knows that his words would be taken as Toras Moshe. Number one, either that for something like this, it's all one. It's all one. I mean, my deher is that for something like this, which is, we're talking about that's a part of the Seder, and it's a mitzvah Rabbanan, and so. But for something like this, which is not maybe from the, you know, Dvarim, not Isur Ikaris and Dvarim Om Dibru Mishal Olam, so you have to take into consideration the feelings, the opinions, the ritzonos of others, particularly one's spouse. I know you're not married yet, but Hashem, I'm sure none of you are too far off. So keep, you know, it's certainly something that plays a role. And it's not, and even if you are the God of the Dar, and you feel that this is not the right way to do the mitzvah, but if the Rebbetzin feels otherwise, so that is an important consideration. It will not be machria in perhaps in many cases, and maybe not even in most cases, but it certainly is something that's taken into consideration. And sometimes with things like this, perhaps it is the machria, something where it's, you know, you can't go too wrong. So considering all that goes into Pesach, I'm sure if the Rebbetzin Algris, what does that mean? That means that probably in her father's home that this is what they use. So it was meaningful to her probably also. It wasn't just, you know, minhagim are very meaningful to people and maybe even more so to women than to men. So it's probably very meaningful to her to do it the way the Tata did it, the way father, you know, if I recall correctly, even, I don't know if there's anything to do with it, but if I'm not mistaken, Ramosha's Shver was a Shochet who was slaughtered to death with his own knife by the Nazis, Yimach Shemon. I might have seen that story somewhere. So, you know, these are memories of her father's home. That, I don't know how old she was when that happened, but I'm putting this all in. I don't know if there's anything to do, but the idea is, what I'm trying to bring out, is that a person does have to, even when it comes to, you know, mitzvahs and the Avodas Hashem, a person has to take in the Bein Adam L'Chaveru as well, especially if the Chaveru is, Reyaso, Ishto Gugufo, and especially when it comes to Pesach, where there's so much involved and she's working so hard and things that are meaningful, that has to be that could play a role even in a halachic decision.
Okay. Yes, okay. Go to the floor for
questions. Yes, if anyone has any questions, we could.
What was the reason why we actually were able to drink water before that's not
Shalom Zalman? Yeah, you mean Shalom Zalman? No, Rabbi Yashiv made a bracha according to what's brought down. He made a bracha chrona. No, so I'm saying the drinking water was an eitzer Shlomo Zalman utilized to be mamshich the bracha, not to make a bracha chron, to be mamshich the bracha rishona. Rabbi Yashiv made a bracha chron, finished. So I guess he held, at least in certain years, he held that this is, a little sip of water, this is doche, it's more important not to be mafsid a bracha. And, you know, COVID also is a subjective type of thing, if there's a reason to be doche.
I mentioned that if you did the afternoon without a seva, and then you do my machronim, even if you didn't bench it, you'd have to do until Zidane over again?
So, it certainly without a bracha, but Pashas, if you already might mash beseech das for meeting. I want to be honest, when I'm saying this, I'm getting a little confused. Ramosh has a tshuva in that as well. Ramosh has a tshuva, because there seems to be a steer mishnah brura. by Afikoman. One place he says, don't repeat it, one place, do repeat it. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I'm not 100% when I said it over accurately, so there were also a lot of different days. The bottom line is, I think most people say you do eat it again, but if you look up Rav Moshe's tshuva exactly, I think Rav Moshe might say that once you washed it, my mechonim, that you don't do it again. I think that's the way he's miyashiv the steel mishnah berurah. Others want to be cholik and say you wash it. So you should look that up. I want to, you know, for the record, I'm not sure if I said that over. I'm not sure if I said Rav Moshe's sheet accurately. So, but anyway, the idea of washing again would be once you miss the class from eating, if you want to eat, you should wash again. If you're certain that you didn't get your hands dirty at all, you should wash that a bracha. In any case, if you're not eating kabetza, we would be knowing to wash that a bracha. If I become, I guess you should eat two kazesim, which is a kabetza, but you would wash that a bracha. That's it. Really, even grape juice is called wine, right? And all the rest of the year, we consider grape juice wine. When it comes to Pesach, so there are Gedolim, Rav Moshe, and Rav Eliashiv, and some others that say that it's not enough to use grape juice because you need, he say, Yidei Yayin Yotze, Yidei Cheres Lo Yotze. Here you need a wine which is alcoholic, so that it's like Derech B'nei Chorin, not just a nice sweet drink. So many are cholik, but that also Rosh Hashanah Zalman and others, many are cholik and say that it's sufficient. They say the Chazanish use grape juice, and many Gedolim use grape juice. But even if one wants to be Yotze, this Shita, Ramesha Shita, Yidei Cheres, you need alcoholic. My understanding is it has to feel alcohol, has to taste alcoholic. I've seen numbers, I've seen some give 4% and some give 5%. I've seen those numbers given. I'm not sure if those are just numbers of just hashara of what, you know, at what point it doesn't taste like grape juice. But that's the idea, I think. So you take grape juice even and mix in enough wine to the point where it has that a little bit of a sting to it, a little bit of alcoholic sting to it. That's really, but the numbers I've seen are 4%. I saw once, I don't remember which way, Rav Heinemann in his book gives a number, and I've heard from David Feinstein, Shame of David Feinstein, I think one was 4, one was 5, I don't remember which was which. Well, you still have the same machlokas. This I know again, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky both held that you could drink grape juice. It says, Yayin is samach levavenosh, grape juice is yayin. Who says it has to do with, you know, getting sugar or the potential of getting sugar? It's yayin. Moshe held not like that, and Rav Yaakov not like that. So I would assume it's to be the same idea that once it tastes like wine. So give them grape juice. There are plenty of gedolim to be summoned. Many gedolim to be summoned on that grape juice is enough. You know, it seems so. Things are not so clear. It just says the lashon of needs to be kaveya sudas olayan. I think it's the lashon. So. All these things are discussed, and like nothing is so mefurish, but pashas. If it's going to be grape juice anyway, it's not a big deal. Drink one review of grape juice and a night meal, one day and a day meal, and that would be fine. Chol Moed also. It's a yontif. The mitzvah simcha is all 7 days or 8 days in chutzlats.
How intact does the matzah have to be to be a shalim?
You mean how much could be chipped off?
Yeah.
So they give a shear of up to 1/24. It's based on the dinim of challah, based on the it comes out hilchos challah. There's a tshuva from the I think it's the Shvus Yaakov or one of his farm. He talks about the shear of 1/24. Let me see that much.
Before when Rav mentioned about eating from the two kazesim, you should eat from the matzos. Was he saying that you should try to get your full kazayis out of the matzos the bracha were made on, or you should just try to make sure you have a piece of
No, a full kazayis.
This is impossible for every single person at the meal.
Well, that's why Moshe says it's only impossible if one person is just making bracha 3 matzos, but if everybody has 3 matzos or every other person, well, that's what they're saying. Or the way the Shiva said, don't have 3 matzos in front of you, have 30 matzos in front of you and give a mouth to everybody.
That the balabai should, the person, the mevarak should give it out to every single person.
If you do it that way, I'm saying either that way, that's the way the Shiva and Dain Fisher did it, or just to have them, the way I do it, I say it actually, it's easy, we put matzahs around, you know, for...
And everyone makes their own bracha.
Yeah, so if they don't want to make their own bracha, but at least when I'm making the bracha for them, they're, you know, usually do make their bracha. There's a lady there or someone that's not so fit, doesn't want to make, so they make my brachas, kai on their, you know.
So they just hold 2 matzos, their own 2 matzos, and yeah.
She doesn't have to eat a piece of your matzos?
Not if she, no, absolutely not.
Even though,
you know, she has her own lecha mishnah, I'm saying. It's not just, she has lecha mishnah, and she has everything she needs. But usually they make their own bracha, it's just if somebody doesn't want to, for some reason, you know.
Better to make your own bracha or everyone?
Probably, I mean, I think fine is better, because otherwise, especially if you have a large crowd, until everybody goes and washes, everybody comes back, you know, it's, you know, let them get started, and let them get started, and B, it's, it might have hefsek.
In the case that you already benched for the Fikomen, if you can do Al-Fil's matzah, or the one you made is good?
No, you definitely don't make, once you ate a kazayis, you know, at the beginning of the meal, you don't make Al-Fil's matzah.
Is there an Al-Fil gasa issue at Fikomen? Especially with the, by keep doing over the lean.
I guess it could get there. I mean, hopefully, if it's just by achilas matzah, you haven't eaten the sud yet, hopefully there's no achilas gasi yet. At that point, by a fikomen. You guys have a fikomen.
Should like wait an hour?
Depends if you feel, depends on the person. If he feels he's holding by achilas, you know, achilas gasi. Hey, well, let me just look. I know this sefer, but this is a very excellent sefer. This I had with me. I did bring this along, so. It's an excellent sefer. If you want to, you know, review, it's an excellent kitzer on the top and the bottom. He brings down, you know, the deus, and I find that it's very, very thorough. A kitzer. It's a kitzer. It doesn't replace learning Mishnah Berurah and you know, more than that. But it's an excellent kitzer. An excellent review of the halachas, and from there you can look things up. So let me just look. He brings down, you know, Rav Moshe Shish. Just want to might as well get it accurate here, especially if it's on tape. I know it's in here, so it's always harder to find things when you're under pressure. I know it's here. Okay, 47, here we go. The main equipment, let's see. You didn't say let's bench. You didn't wash my yochanim. She oz vaday rashoy lechol matzah filo harbe zaysim lefikomen. Mashenkin achakach oser. Okay, so we look up the truth. It sounds like Rav Moshe is saying afterwards you would not repeat it altogether. According to Rav Moshe, then he brings a lot of others. Make other chalukim. You know, some say you do. Some say the Mishnah Berurah that said not to do it is only going with the, you know, with the one sheet and whatever it is. But yeah, some say forget the Mishnah Berurah meant that you don't have to do it. Only feed the mechaber. That's not some mechaber ravel. You have to do it. Like you don't. You can look at. So the best thing is look up this Mishnah Berurah. This English Moshe Chelak Gimel Simin Samach Zayin.
See how he says. Saying let's bench like the same thing as Mamakarna.
Yeah, typically when he said, you know, he said it already.
Not Havlon. Just saying, bring the Mamakarna. Like, let's bench.
No, okay, well, it depends. I mean, for the person who said it, I think so. If he said it already, okay, you know, we're ready to bench. Let's bench. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.